Good morning again. For this is truly the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty, merciful God, God, we've had opportunities to sing and praise you through our worship team and our musicians, and we say thank you. We had an opportunity to give back just a portion of our financial resources for the building up of your kingdom. But now, Lord, we come to hear a word from you. We want to hear a word from you. Lord, we pray that you will help us to open our eyes that we may continue to see you in this sermon. Our ears that we may hear you in this sermon, and our hearts will receive your message, not for the world, but for each one of us. And everyone said amen. An invitation to recharge the soul. Our scripture reading this morning is Matthew, comes out of the Gospel of Matthew, the 11th chapter, 16th and 18th, 25th through 30 verses. I will read starting at the 18th verse. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners, yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. At that time, Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone, I love this, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal himself. Come to me, all of you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come, Jesus offers an invitation. Come to me, all who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens. This passage of scripture can easily be misinterpreted. When Jesus makes reference to rest, some will immediately interpret that to mean rest from our physical labor. To help us understand this passage, let me review part of the creation story of man that begins in Genesis 2, the 7th verse. First, God took dust. Some translations say he took clay and he formed man. But it doesn't stop with the dust. I used to think that that was the end of the creation of man. When he took the dust and took the clay, there is more to the creation of man, to this story. The second half says, and God breathed. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. The body and the soul. The body and then the soul. Remember also the passage that says man was created in the image of God. The dust is not God's image. It's not God's DNA. So how did we inherit God's DNA? Well, the second half says that God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, the DNA. There is the DNA. So there we have it, the body and the soul. So you may ask the question, what is the soul? Glad you asked. The soul is God's DNA. And you may ask the question, what is God's DNA? Glad you asked. God's DNA is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit. Within our souls, there is the fruit of the Spirit. And if you look at Galatians, the 5th chapter, the 22nd and 23rd verse, it says, but the fruit, remember now, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. That's the DNA. It's the image of God. Love, joy, and peace, and forbearance. That is the DNA that we received. All humans have God's DNA. The fruit is there, but it has to be cultivated and nourished in order for us to grow. The fruit has to be cultivated and nourished in order for us to grow. We have to accept the DNA of God. In God's creation, God set aside a day for rest from the everyday challenges of life. He called it the Sabbath. Not for himself. God didn't need a Sabbath, but for humans. For God knew that we would need time to recharge our souls in order to nurture and to feed the fruits of love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and so forth and so on. Gentleness and self-control are important to stay connected to God. It's important. Those two are important for us to stay connected to our sanity and to enjoy life. In the Old Testament, the Sabbath became a source of anxiety for God's people because the religious leaders, including the Pharisees, began to add to God's intent for the Sabbath. Instead of keeping the Sabbath commandment, which had to do with renewing the soul and spending time with God and family, they added their own regulations for the Sabbath. For example, according to their law, a person could walk only a certain distance on the Sabbath. If the distance exceeded the law, everybody in the community would point and say, he or she broke the commandment of God. How many of you remember, I don't want to give my age away, but I remember when I was young, teenager, on Wednesday, everything shut down downtown. Wednesday afternoon. And on Sundays, no, absolutely no stores were what? Open. We honored what? The Sabbath day. A day to get with God, a day to pray and to be with family. And so instead of renewing the soul and spending time with God and family, the Sabbath became a distraction and a source of contention for the people because the focus changed from God's law to man's law. Distractions continue to keep us from a day of reflection and rest. Even today, as Christians, we are often caught up in the demands of life. We lose sight of what's important. As a result, we are not able to embrace the DNA of our God. The peace and contentment that is promised to each believer. The growth of our fruit of the Spirit is interrupted. We move one step forward and two steps back. Because we don't know how to relax and honor the Sabbath. And the peace, in Philippians it says, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your mind in Jesus Christ. The peace of God. God is peace. Jesus is peace. Yes, we are concerned about our families, our country, and the world. And because we care, life sometimes causes our souls to become weary, and we end up carrying heavy burdens, which are not necessarily our burdens. They're not necessarily our burdens. And these burdens carry us, allow us to carry heavy yokes, which keeps us from growing in the fruit of the Spirit. I'm reminded of one of the Peanut cartoons. How many of you know Lucy and Linus? How many of you know them? All right. Let's listen at this story. Lucy demanded that Linus change TV channels, threatening him with her fist if he didn't. What makes you think you can walk right in here and take over? Asked Linus. These five fingers, said Lucy. She says, individually, they are nothing. Oh, but when I curl them up together like this into one single, when I curl them up into one single unit, they form a weapon that is terrible to behold. Linus said, which channel did you say you wanted to look at? Turning away, he looked at his fingers and he said, why can't you guys get organized that way? Lucy was exhibiting childlike behavior. She was showing her immaturity. Lucy was not interested in Linus' agenda. It was all about her. Linus was enjoying a quiet afternoon and Lucy shows up. Our lives are sometimes interrupted by unwanted adversaries. Now these were brothers and sisters. Which means that it doesn't have to be outside adversaries. They could be where? In our homes and interrupt our joy and our peace. What happens when we do not accept the invitation from Jesus? Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. What happens? But Jesus knew the importance of getting away because he oftentimes left the hustle and bustle of his surroundings. On several occasions, we read that Jesus went on what? A 40-day sabbatical, Sabbath, when his soul needed to be refreshed. Jesus left the crowds. Jesus is inviting us this morning to come, for he knew that there will come a time when the soul will become overloaded. Go, he's saying, come to me, come to a quiet place and meditate. Let us meditate together on my Father's promises for you. Jesus is saying there will come a time when your soul will become overburdened and take a Sabbath rest. How many of you have a bucket list? Oh my goodness. Everybody needs to have a bucket list. Oh, I fulfilled one of my bucket list adventures this past week. I feel renewed and refreshed. On one occasion, Jesus left the crowd and went to the other side and he didn't meet with his father on this occasion. He met with his apostles and they had a fish fried. And guess who caught the fish and cooked the fish? It was Jesus. He went away with family and they fellowshipped with each other. Remember that God and Jesus is one. We too are one through Jesus Christ. The Israelites did not listen to God. The Sabbath became more of a distraction than a day spent with God and family. On one occasion, when Jesus and his apostles were walking through, were going about the land, spreading the gospel of God, and one of the apostles, and I'm ad-libbing here, but one of the apostles said, "Jesus, we haven't had an opportunity to eat. I am hungry." And Jesus said, "Pluck the corn and eat the corn." And some of the religious leaders saw them doing it, and they said, "Look, he calls himself the Messiah. And he does not honor the Sabbath." Jesus said, "What's more important, the Sabbath or a person who's hungry?" We are not to be distracted by others. Jesus was often distracted by those who were trying to challenge the gospel. The gospel tells us that on one occasion, the Lord tells Peter, his close companion, as they were walking, Jesus said, "Peter, follow me. Keep your eyes on me." And Jesus looks and he sees John the Baptist and he strays away. Jesus says to us, don't stray away. Keep your eyes on me. Even though the Old Testament had predicted the coming of John the Baptist and the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the leaders chose to burden the people with unbelief. Listen to what Jesus says to the crowd. Maybe he's talking to us today. He says, the problem with this generation is that they listen neither to God, John, nor to God's son. John's lifestyle led people to accuse him of having a demon, while Jesus' habits of eating and drinking with sinners earned him a bad reputation. One of the things that will keep us from enjoying the peace of God, and I can testify, is worrying about what other people think of us. As long as we are exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit and we are treating people the way God would expect us to be treated, to treat them, that's all we can do. That's all that we can do. There was a division among the people. They were not willing to hear John, who came to prepare the way, not Jesus, the Savior, who came to fulfill the law. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." In the human flesh, Jesus felt the pain of his followers. Jesus knew about emotional pain, including grief. In the flesh, Jesus knew about grief. Remember when Lazarus died and he went to the grave and Lazarus' sisters were standing there and they were crying. Jesus began to cry. He was grieving the loss of his loved one. We are to grieve the loss of loved ones, but we are to realize that it's not the end for those who embrace the teachings of Jesus Christ. So Jesus knew psychological, emotional pain. He did what? He had compassion on the sick. He healed the sick. He had compassion for those who were hungry. He knew pain. He also knew that his Father was ultimately in charge. He knew physical pain, crucifixion. But he did not steer off the route that God had for him. When Jesus says, "Come to me, all you that are weary and heavy burden," we can assume his message is for all believers, because we know that suffering transcends all class, race, ethnicity, culture, demographics, and privilege. at some point, all Christians will suffer. We suffer because we have not reached the new heaven and the new earth, the new Jerusalem, the new home that we will inherit of no more pain and no more suffering is a guarantee for those who are in pain now, for those who are grieving now. You'll be reunited with your loved one. For those like me who can barely get up in the morning because of arthritis, I'll be jumping and walking boldly when I get to heaven. What does it mean when Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light? When Jesus says, come to him for rest, he isn't necessarily speaking about physical rest. He's speaking of spiritual and emotional rest. Again, people were burdened, not so much from their daily jobs. They had created over 600 laws, man laws, that they interpreted for the Ten Commandments. Some things we have no control over, but yet we try and fix all things for all people. We can't. We can't do it. Enjoy the Sabbath with God for allowing ourselves to be. Don't let yourself be interrupted by focusing on outside influences. Remember, look in your scripture and remember the promises of Jesus. He said, lo, I am with you, what? Always. What do we do with the weight of fear, worry, and anxiety? Listen to this story. A man driving his pickup truck on a country road, saw a woman carrying a heavy load. So he stopped and offered her a lift. The woman expressed her gratitude and climbed into the back of the truck. A moment later, the man noticed a strange thing. The woman was still holding onto her heavy load, despite sitting in the vehicle. Astonished, he pleaded, please, madam, please put down your load and take your rest. My truck can carry you and your stuff. Just relax. Jesus is saying, put down your heavy load. I can carry your load. I carried the cross to be crucified. Put it down. Bring it to me. The Apostle Peter says, cast all your anxieties on Jesus because he cares for you. There is nothing too broken that God or Jesus cannot mend and redeem. The good news this morning is that Jesus and God wants to recharge our souls while we are here on earth. And there will come a time when we will reach the new heavens and the new earth. Again, where there are no tears and no pains, no moaning, no death. But Jesus wants to recharge our souls. The question for each of us is, are we willing? Are we willing to let go? To take up Jesus' invitation to come to him. In our darkest moments, when we are crushed, Jesus is as close as our breath. All we have to do is stop and pray. We have a Savior who cried. We have a Savior who had compassion. Are you willing? My question to you this morning is, are you willing to let go? And let God. Amen. Amen. Let church say amen.